This is the part two of 25 practical ways to be a genuine servant leader. And on your listening sheet this morning, which you can notice is the correct color and probably has been spell checked, is evidence that Mrs. April is back in our office and she had a wonderful vacation. I can say for one that I was very excited to see her walk in the door on Monday morning, tickled to death that she is back with us. But We said, and this is kind of the bridge between last year and this year, that there are four challenges which men face and in relating to their wives, and that's those first four things that are filled in on your listening sheet. Women need from their husband companionship. They just have to have it. They can't live without it. And you need to give it to her. And the woman who is left alone and the man who goes off with the guys all the time is truly doing himself and his family a great disservice. And the second thing she needs, which you kind of give her as you are being her companion, is security. She needs to know that she can count on you and that you are trustworthy and that you are someone on whom she can depend, because that's what she's looking for, is someone. It's not by accident that the Old Testament word for a wife is helpmate. She needs someone to walk through life with. The third thing that she needs you to give her is significance. One of the reasons some women go to work is for money. But many women go to work because that's where they can get their appreciation in the form of a paycheck. Because they can't get it from their husband. They seem to feel like that what they do in the home is undervalued or not valued at all. And therefore they go outside the home to work to find that appreciation. Now, as society changes, that becomes more and more less the case, because many women today work not because they want to, but because they feel like they have to make the proverbial ends meet. And the fourth thing that she needs you to give her is emotional responsiveness. It is so important that even though you may be exhausted when you get home, that you have time for her, and that the two of you, no matter how many kids you have, find some time to be alone together throughout your week. It should be done each day. It's very important. So those are the four things that we talk about there under Know Your Customer. Now, to begin to take place, our second part of this lesson, we're going to start with number 13. The first 12 are on the last week's lesson. The number 13 practical way that you can be a genuine servant leader to your wife is to initiate meaningful family traditions. To initiate meaningful family traditions. You need to make sure that there is fun had in your home, and that it is had on a regular basis, and that it is had among the family. And there are all manner of things that you can do. But one of the things you're looking for here is things that in the future you suspect your children would be able to say, remember when? You know, remember when we went on vacation too, or remember when on Thanksgiving we did, or you know, come up with what is a family tradition. Now, my home, on Christmas Day, we have a family tradition that we always have a particular breakfast, a particular meal, and everybody eats, and then at Easter and Christmas and Thanksgiving dinner, if you're in our home, we have communion after our meal together. Now, we don't go like the church does and go find the smallest, thinnest wafer that is possible. We actually just break out the rolls of whatever we've had left over, which is kind of what I think Jesus did. And we just pass it around. So make some traditions that people will be meaningful and that they can remember. The 14th practical way to be a genuine servant leader is a servant leader initiates fun outings for the family on a regular basis. Keep laughter in your home. This can be something that you have to pay for. This can be simply going out in the backyard and having a picnic. And simply, you know, moving the peanut butter and jelly sandwich that was made to be consumed indoors, outdoors. It is important that we do this. And all this shouldn't fall to your spouse. You are a part of the family, and you need to help this. Now, it's one thing to support it and say, yeah, baby, we'll do that. But come up with some of these ideas yourself, particularly if you have boys, because they need to see what is fun to you, manly fun. It could be going on a fishing trip, going hunting. All those kinds of things would fall into this category. A servant leader initiates fun outings for the family on a regular basis. Number 15, a servant leader takes the time to give his children practical instruction about life, which in turn gives them confidence with their peers. This is huge. Now, you want to grow a young man, a young woman, to be well-rounded. If you have a daughter, you need to teach her, okay, baby, this is a car, this is the hood, you open the hood, and here's the engine. Now, this is where you check the oil, this is where you check the transmission fluid, this is where you check the radiator fluid. You know, you go through the whole thing, let her see. Here's how you change a tire, because she may need to know that. You need to teach her that when you go to a full-service gas station, and they're doing all these things for you, and they come to you and say that, how do you need X, Y, or Z replaced, to say no. No, thank you. So that she's not taken advantage of. A young man, you need to teach him those things too. Teach him how to dribble a basketball. Teach him all those things that are important, how to use tools, how to work on things, because you want to develop a well-rounded individual. Individuals such as myself who know very little about mechanical things, my dad knew about those things. He just was never able to transfer that knowledge to me. So as a man, you want to do everything you can to transfer that knowledge, because one of the greatest things that a dad can give his son and his daughters is confidence. And if they know a little bit about these things, when they're around others who know a great deal about them, they will feel confident. They won't be picked on. If you're an 11-year-old boy and you can't dribble a basketball and you're the one who's picked last in PE, that can develop some self-esteem issues. And so you want to be very careful that you do everything you can to give your children practical instruction about life. Number 16, a servant leader manages the schedule of the home and anticipates pressure points. It amazes me how many people today don't realize that a little boy or a little girl needs some time at home that is unscheduled for them to play, for them to be a kid. And too many times I'm discovering that individuals, by the time they have piano or some kind of music lesson, dance, t-ball, soccer, you name it, Cub Scouts, Girl Scouts, brownies, whatever it is, they have their entire week scheduled. And if you try to insert church into that combination, they wind up, the children do, growing up constantly on the go. And they need some time to be at home, in their room, in their backyard, playing and being a kid. And it's your job as a servant leader to manage the schedule to make sure that that doesn't happen. Number 17, a servant leader keeps his family financially sound and out of harmful debt. Now, Dave Ramsey would tell us that any debt is harmful. I understand that debt is not a good thing. I also understand that sometimes some of us, depending on where you come from, have no choice. You have to be in some debt. The issue here is harmful debt. I think you have a barometer in your head that tells you, no, I don't need to do that. And if you pray about things together between you and your wife, hopefully one of you is fairly good with money, that if it's not you, listen to her. And hopefully if it is you, maybe you can convince her to listen to you. But the key here is harmful debt. Never borrow everything that a bank will loan you, because they will always, their ratios of debt to earnings are not healthy and should not be your ratio. The bottom line is, if you can possibly do it, you need to be able to save 10%, give the Lord 10%, and live off the 80%. And if you're not doing that, you know, that's a bad ratio. Number 18, A servant leader makes sure he and his wife have drawn up a will and have arranged a well-conceived plan for their children in case of their death. Now, this doesn't sound like something you want to talk about, but it's your responsibility. Because should something happen to you and your spouse, who's going to raise your children? If you have young children, this is very important. Pam and I always had great debate about this, who would do it. And sometimes this will cause problems because you don't want her family raising your children and she doesn't want your family doing it. So you need to find a happy medium here, but it's something you definitely need to plan and something that you need to make certain has been agreed upon, because one of the most certain things in life is death. It's not a matter of if, but when. And if you have small children at home, you need to be sure that you've cared for them. You don't ever want them to become wards of the state. And that happens more often than we would like to admit. Number 19, a servant leader lets his wife and children into the interior of his own life. Some guys put up such a wall that their children never get to know them. And you need to let your children and your spouse know you. This means that you have to become vulnerable. And this is difficult, but it's important, particularly as your children get older. They need to learn from your mistakes, and you need to be able to open up and share with them the fun things you've done, the things that worked well, but also your mistakes. Soren Kierkegaard, a philosopher of ages past, has a wonderful quote. He says, life is lived forwards, but understood backwards. And if you think about that, that is so very true. We say something similar to that when we say hindsight is 20/20. Well, while they won't always accept it, if you can give your children the benefit of your hindsight, perhaps you can prevent them from making the mistake that you have made. Now, this doesn't happen. You don't start doing this when they reach 16 or 18. You start doing this by letting them in your life when they're young. If you don't feel good, you come home, you're tired, and one of them says, what's wrong, Daddy? Tell them, well, Daddy's tired. Let them see that there are some chinks in the armor, that you are human, and be open and honest with them. Now, obviously, you don't dump the entire load on a small child, but let them know when you have issues, that things that you're thinking about. Also, let them know when you have, the funny things that you've done, the things that perhaps weren't funny at the time, but now you can look back on and laugh, because if you can laugh at yourself, and if they can laugh with you at yourself, you help them develop that wonderful trait to be able to laugh at themselves, which is important for them. Number 20, a servant leader honors his wife often in public. You should never critique her in public. You should never criticize her in public. You should honor her in public. This is what the Scripture teaches us. We are to honor our wife. And when we honor her, the best illustration I've ever heard of this was by Gary Smalley. And he talked about if you were to take a Stradivarius violin that is worth like $1 million and pass it around the room and let each guy hold it. If you're holding something in your hands that is of that value, the way you hold it, particularly as you transfer it into someone else's hands, is a great illustration for what the Bible means by the word honor. You will be taking great care with it. And that's the way we're supposed to be with our spouse. We are to honor her. And you should talk about this in public. And you guys know, and anyone who's heard me preach knows that I try to practice this with my own wife. I constantly am trying to affirm her, to honor her, both in private and in public. And this is something very important. Number 21, a servant leader will explain sex to each child in a way that gives them a wholesome perspective. Now, you've got to do this. And this is your responsibility to do this. You should not pass this responsibility off to the school, to the church, to the youth director, the children's director. This is mama and daddy's job. And I think that it should be done sooner rather than later. And I believe that most folks wait too late to do this. You know, there's a joke that a guy's talking to his dad, or a dad's trying to talk to his son about sex, and the dad's awkward, he's fumbling everything, and finally the son says, "Okay, Dad, what do you want to know?" And if you wait too late to have this discussion, that's how it winds up. And so I recommend folks start talking to their children, particularly if when mom is expecting another child. You know, be honest. Here's where the baby is. No, we're not going to get it out of the garden under a cabbage leaf. You know, this is where your brother or sister is, and this is how these things happen. And if you do that from day one, it's not such a big issue. Then by the time they're five, I think you should have a conversation with them about sex where you answer their questions, not where you dump the whole load and you give them the entire encyclopedia of your knowledge, but simply answer their questions. And the important part of having these discussions with children about sex is if you have been open and honest with them so that you have maintained the relationship where you feel like they can ask you anything and you can talk to them about anything. That's the critical piece for being able to have this particular discussion. And I...
when they get older, I think it's been an open discussion in your home about it. When they go off and get married and have these problems, they can come back.
It makes... It opens the lines of communication, not just for this discussion when they're five, but for the rest of their life. This is something I can talk to my parents about. And it's critically important because you would rather, and I know because I've done this is not an easy thing. The way I did it with my children is I simply, at the age of, when they reached five and I thought it was time and that, depending on the questions they were asking me, I would take them out to a movie. We'd go out to eat and we would talk about this. And I would just say, listen, I'd explain, this is the subject we want to talk about. Any questions you have about it? And I would answer. And they would have a few questions, but not many. And then I'd do it again when they were seven. And I did it again when they were nine. I did it again when they were 11. So I had this discussion with them. And by the time they were 11, the discussion was pretty involved. And then after that, we handled it pretty much on a, not a yearly basis, not a weekly basis, but we talked about it quite often in home. And we always raised with our children the value that God wants you to be able to present to your spouse your chastity, your virginity. This is a gift you give the one who you're going to marry. And my wife, because of our boys, she has had great conversations with them on a very regular basis about these issues. So it's something you got to do. But you as the husband, you as the head, the spiritual leader, you have to start and be the one who initiates these conversations. Make it okay to have this conversation. You know, some guys, when it comes up, they go, oh, can't talk about that. And that's bad. Number 22, a servant leader encourages his wife to grow as an individual. A servant leader encourages his wife to grow as an individual. It is the good servant leader who will sit down with his wife at various stages in her life and say, "Honey, what do you want to do? What dreams do you have? What would you like to accomplish in the next 10, 5 years?" Now, my home, my wife is working on her education, and I'm glad to participate in that. That means that I get to cook some suppers. That means I get to read a lot of papers and that I get to listen to her talk about various things that I've never heard of. And being that she is a mathematics major, that means I get to hear discussions about X, Y, and Z and other letters and other equations that I would have never ever thought of. But whatever it is that she dreams about, that she wishes to pursue, it's your job to be not only her greatest fan, but her security, her support. I think you all understand what a scotch is. You know, you put a scotch behind a wheel to keep it from going back. That's kind of what you are. You're her support. You want to keep pushing her forward and not let her fall back. Number 23, a servant leader takes the lead in establishing with his wife sound, biblically supportable family values. You're going to instill values into your children, and it is up to you to make sure that the values that the two of you are instilling are biblically sound, not societally accepted. You want to let them know what you believe about debt, about integrity, about alcohol, about pornography, about sex, about, you know, finances, about honesty, about lying. You just need to instill those values in them and constantly, unfortunately, and consistently repeat that message over and over and over till you're going to feel like that you want to take your own brain out of your head and play with it sometimes as you communicate these values. You know, children go through a stage where everything you say to them, they say why. And then they go through a stage where every time you ask them a question, they always answer, I don't know. And there are some very monotonous days ahead of the parent who's trying to do this. And unfortunately, in that, because it is monotonous, many people just stop. They give up. They throw in the towel. And they say, well, you know what? Everybody else is doing it, so why not? I'll just teach my kids that it's okay. And that is wrong. There are two extremes you want to be here. You don't want to be the absent dad who never talks about any of these things. You also don't want to be the dad who's always there, but he's the go-with-the-flow dad who never steps up and says anything, okay? And those are two extremes that we want to make sure we stay away from. We need to think strategically, and then we need to act purposefully as both a dad and a husband. Number 24, a servant leader will join a small group of men who are dedicated to improving their skills as a man, a husband, and a father. I am convinced that at this stage of my life, that no man can be the man God created him to be without help from other men. The Lone Ranger might have been a great TV show, but it is a rotten philosophy of life, particularly for men. And the American independent spirit leads men down this this road, and I think it's a road to ruin. It's a dead-end road. You need guys around you to help you along the way, because nobody has all the answers all the time. Number 25, a servant leader provides time for his wife to pursue her own personal interests. It's one thing to tell her she can. It's another thing to come alongside her and say, okay, baby, here's how we're going to make this happen. And by providing time, now, I don't know what her interest may be, gardening. Her interest may be cooking. Her interest may be antiquing or, you know, sewing. You, whatever her interests are, you're going to do everything that you can to help her do that. And the authentic man moves from the work world, and when he comes home, he realizes that it's not time to sit down and collapse, that it's at home that his true work is done. The work you do away from the home is simply to provide you the ability to do the work you need to do in the home. And that is important. So that's the 25 practical ways that you can be a genuine servant leader and the husband that God wants you to be. That concludes this morning's huddle.